You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
You've heard me complain a lot in the last 3 years, Stugatz, about the pandemic just sort of exposing and speeding up some greed-related things that not only create like real problems between people who have money and people who don't and the disparities of that, that have made me really feel for people who are struggling day to day. Because I believe on the happiness pie chart, if you're struggling with money every day or financial concerns, it can get really hard, no matter how spiritual you are, to be happy because there's just fear around you at all times about not being able to afford things. And things are getting more and more expensive in a way that's alarming, that, you know, a cup of coffee on South Beach is $9 now. And, when I see what's happening with streaming and how aggressive and fast it is, when I tell you I didn't see this coming this way,
right?
The streamers being competitive about the greed when your leader is Netflix, which for a long time now has established itself as a company that's going to take all of its enormous profits worldwide and pour it right back into the business. Netflix now getting into the at the football game, if indeed Boomer Esiason's report is correct, that Netflix is going to get into the game, is making it so much faster than I thought. You're pricing out sports fans. You're really hurting sports fans who care about stuff by taking advantage of their addiction to teams and making it so they can get, the more you love sports, the harder it is for you to afford everywhere where your games are about to be, because cable is falling apart in front of you and it's getting splintered so much by competitive greed, because Amazon and Apple and Max and Disney and Netflix, they all want the same things. They don't want to share the dollars with each other. They want to be the one or two winners so that they get all the dollars.
And if you're someone, I guess to your point, on a tight budget, you're going to have to make choices. If this Netflix deal goes through where they get the Christmas Day NFL games, you will have NFL games next season exclusively on CBS, Fox, ABC, NBC, ESPN, ESPN Plus, Peacock, Amazon, and Netflix.
I feel bad for sports fans. This is going to get so much more expensive than cable. You're about to enter into a place where if you care about things, they're going to take advantage of your sports allegiances, your loyalties, and they're going to make it very hard for you to afford everything.
And you still need the cable, because really big games are still going to be on over-the-top cable.
FBI.
And you can't access them on your streaming service without putting in your cable credentials. Presently, right now, it's almost a principle thing, I am not subscribing to Netflix because I am doing the cost analysis on live streaming rights. Well, they brought on Monday Night Raw, which is a program you need to watch live if you're me. So in a couple of months, I'll be there. And then I officially have them all. Hell, I have like ones in South America.
And how much more is that than you were paying?
Like, so much more.
Are you still paying for cable?
I shudder to think like how much I am actually paying for my sports entertainment right now.
Yes.
I actually need to put it in calendars to unsubscribe when the season ends and then just resubscribe.
What happened to the days where I turned on my television and sports were on it? That's it. I didn't know what sports. I didn't know if it was going to be good sports, but there were sports. And it was free. What happened, Dano? I don't know why I'm throwing it to you.
Greed happened. greed happened, and a whole lot of competitors to television happened. It's no longer three channels. It's more than three giants fighting over the fact that they know you're addicted to this. There is nothing like sports, Stugatz. Nope. It's not just because this part is unique by itself for the business of what it is that they're doing. The part that's unique is sports are one of the very, very few places where people still gather around at an appointed time. They are not making a menu item. They're not doing this on their own time. You are doing it at the time of sports. That's why all of these entities are trying to get into live sports. But even beyond that, because that by itself is special enough, the emotional allegiances that people have to teams and games are unlike anything else outside of maybe music in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlike anything else. You do not get, you've heard me say this before, for everybody who says the most exciting day of your life was when your children were born, not many of you were jumping up and down the way you were when your team scored the touchdown in the Super Bowl. Like, you, however happy you think you were.
I've never experienced that.
However happy you.
My wife and I jumped on the couch when Kyle Larson pulled ahead with 0.001. I swear.
You both jumped on the couch?
We both jumped on the couch, looked at each other, and it was on mute. It was on mute. We both jumped up. Sports are great. Love sports. I'm paying an arm and a leg for them.
It's interesting because I would have paid if I had to for Caitlin Clark's first game tonight. Or I would have asked Mike for his password. I mean.
And you can't look. And the WNBA has its own version of the League Pass.
Yeah.
It's only $24.99. Yeah. I suggest everybody go out there and support these ladies because you can watch every single game. You don't need any other app. You can watch the entire season.
For the entire season.
$24.99.
Yeah.
Everybody, come on, guys.
All right. $24 gone, though.
I'm in.
Sign up right now.
Okay.
Let's do it on air. Let's have a drive. Everybody sign up right now.
C. Whittingham.
Hold on a second.
Yo, chicken thigh.
Text them.
I'm in. You said I'm in. It's a $24.99. Let's see the $24.99. Here we go. Put it on. Let's see. Give it to you.
Just give us your credit card number.
Go ahead.
I'm in. Say your credit card number with your words. Words from Paramount. He's a known lawyer. You know this.
Such a CVV.
Show me you downloaded an app.
Mother's maiden name.
Okay. How do you have no shame?
I don't know.
It's just we've rewarded it for too long is the problem. Yeah. Like, you're saying I'm in and you don't mean it.
Can I expect it?
Coming out of the final turn.
That means I'm in.
We're in together.
Well, you share the passwords. Share the passwords.
Wait, Dan, are you saying you're not in?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
You got to be
bad
an ally
look,
here.
Dan.
Be careful.
Jeez,
so out of the final turn, Kyle Larson just decides, I'm going to bump this guy off of this straight away, and I'm going to win this. And they're just tire to tire, just pushing each other right to the finish line.
You jumped on the couch like Tom Cruise and Oprah.
Yeah. Because they announced, I think it's Boucher. I probably mangled it. They announced him as the winner. Again, I was watching on mute. And my eyes like, no, Larson won that. And guess what? Tightest race in NASCAR Cup Series history. My eyes were right. I realized that Kyle Larson won that race by 1/100th of a second.
No, 1/1000th.
I'm in sports because I'm bad at math.
Does it get closer? Yeah. I mean,
It's never been closer.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The best driver.
It could be 1/1,000,000th, 1/10,000th of a second.
There's actually rules.
Stop it.
I have to look it up. I have to look it up, but there are actually rules in place if it's an actual tie. Hmm. NASCAR has rules. And keep in mind, this was in overtime.
But what do you mean the rules? The rules is, hey, it's a tie.
Baseball, goes to the runner.
They have tiebreakers, like who led more
laps.
What
does that mean?
No, there has to be a winner.
That's not the rule
in
NASCAR.
Runner wins the tie.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a tie in NASCAR, what are the rules? What do you mean there has to be? What is the second thing they go to? Coin flip?
I think it's like who led more laps. There's tie-breaking scenarios. It's
Russian roulette.
Can
you find me the first tiebreaker? Because put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Do you know the first tiebreaker if a NASCAR race ends in a tie?
Yeah, they were three wide, man.
or a horse
Chase
race.
Was
or
right
a
there.
Horse race, for that matter. I don't know the rule to that.
Well, horse racing is dead. Who cares?
This would have been an all-time finish. Can we throw up the sill one more time? This would have been an all-time finish if the number 9 was the one that was on Kyle Larson's ass. and he's like not even being considered right there. They were going three wide in overtime. It was just an amazing event. I think NASCAR is also going behind a paywall.
It is most laps led during that race.
What about for horses? What about what is the first tie? What is the first tiebreaker for horses? Because laps is probably not going to be the tiebreaker there.
One lap, you know.
Okay, thank you, Stugatz.
I think the official thing is the driver who scored the highest position at the earliest point in the race will officially win the event.
Well, that's different than most laps.
It is indeed going to Amazon, NASCAR. Dale Jr. just signed.
Can we get to that tweet that we have of what it is that the Marlins got for Christian Yelich? The Marlins are in disarray. They're one of the worst teams.
It's early.
In the league. Yeah, you keep mentioning that.
It's 162.
Mm-hmm. And what they got for Christian Yelich, Dugatz, look at that. Currently, Lewis Brinson is playing in the Mexican League.
He's doing well.
Playing with the...
Puebla's on fire in that league.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should check it out.
You've got a guy playing college football. You got a guy
who just committed.
The head baseball coach at Dwyer High School.
That's good. I've bet on Puebla 15 straight games. Responsibly.
That is not good, Stugatz. They got they had Christian Yelich on a cheap contract. They had him signed long-term, and they traded him. And one of the problems, I know recently some Marlins fans have been saying that the present administration doesn't know what it's doing, but what they were handed in a farm system, given what they gave away to get that farm system, was not nearly strong enough. And on top of the injuries that they have right now, they don't exactly have a young future to look forward to either.
Nightmare, and I'd love to get into all of that. Monte Harrison is playing college football. He's 28 years old, and he's going to Arkansas as a walk-on.
That's the lead here, folks.
He's going to dominate.
Do not bury him.
He's going to be amazing.
There's a 28-year-old former, like, he played it. He had a major league career.
I'm sorry.
And now he's going to Sam Pittman in Arkansas.
You can't be 28 playing against 19-year-olds. No.
Brandon Whedon?
I understand that the team pays you. You cannot believe that this guy who has not played football in a decade is going to come into an SEC team and dominate.
Have you seen Monte Harrison run with his shirt off?
Have you seen the SEC?
Have you seen that man run with his shirt off?
Good argument right there. What have you seen?
WFAT.
You've cited Winky and Brandon Whedon, and these. We've seen it at the quarterback position. I don't think we've ever really seen it at an outside skill position where someone in their 28-year-old body can out-physical someone.
Let's ask the audience. Have you seen him run shirtless? What kind of analysis is that?
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Folks, listen up. I want to talk to you about PXG and their new Black Ops driver. You no longer have to sacrifice distance for accuracy, for forgiveness. Folks, those days are done. You get both of those things with this new driver because I went to one of their PXG locations and I tested it out myself. And my boy Mike over there, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you got to go to that location. He took care of me there. It was quick. It was efficient. By the time I got into my car, I had my email where my clubs were going to be sent. I have them now. It is a beautiful thing. What an experience. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough breakthrough in driver technology. It's complete, total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000. I'm telling you, that is ridiculously high. You got to check it out. The PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all the equipment at pxg.com/Dan. Use code Dan at checkout. That's pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan.
Dan Le Batard.
World RAR 3.
Stugatz.
We're going to get that off the ground.
World RAR 3, colon, our group chat has a pretty good feeling about this one.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Roy, where is your level of consternation? You are someone who is filled with a great deal of bluster and bravado. I generally believe you to be a liar when it comes to how much fear you will feel about the team in this market that you care about the most. You have not beaten the Boston Bruins this year. Last year, you beat them as an 8 seed. They were the best regular season team of all time.
3-0-2, Dano.
Tonight you play a game, and this would be, if I were Stugatz, something that I would be calling a must win, because I do not believe that you want to go 0-2 down against this team.
Yeah, the team that always blows leads. Ooh.
At home, you don't want to start 0-2 against a team that you're not that much better than.
Yes, oh, wow. You know what? Whoa, wow. I wasn't strong enough on you, and I didn't want to pull the Dan Le Batard's a hoser card, but you're a hoser. What is this talent? Pasta. Okay, fine. They have a bunch of guys that were on fourth lines on other team. You're going to hit me with Morgan Geeky? What are you doing? Way more talented.
No, all I'm doing is that the last 2 years, the results, if you don't show me the roster and you only show me the results on the last 2 years, there's not a lot of difference between the results.
Last year was last year. Wow. Boston's worse, less talented. Bergeron retired. Mm-hmm. All right, Patrice Bergeron is not walking through that door. Florida's better. Reinhardt got better. Yeah. So, I understand points are points, but talent? There is a disparity here.
Okay, but you've lost five times to the team in the last game you played. Lost 5-1.
Styles make fights, Dan Le Batard.
They do.
But they're not more talented than Florida.
You lost 5-1 in the last game. Roy.
They are due, though. That was a good point.
Where
thank you.
Is your level of fear?
I'm even, Dan, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Even.
Right.
All right, first of all, tonight we're going to have a better showing from Aaron Ekblad, because what happened in game one can't happen again.
Ekblad.
He's out there for... Thank you. He was out there for three goals. Two of them was his fault. One of them, thanks to Bob, but two of them was his fault.
Yeah.
And that breakaway by Justin Brazil, he gave chase on that breakaway. It was a sad sight to see. He could not catch up on that one.
Sad.
So, yeah, we need a better output from Aaron Ekblad. But we saw yesterday Sam Bennett practiced. He put full weight on that wrist, on the area that he got hurt in.
That's big, yeah.
Hopefully he gets to play today.
Dan, they're doing the thing where they know tonight's a big game, a must-win game, but they're giving the appearance that they're confident and not nervous. When you're overconfident, guess what you are? You're nervous. I mean, sorry, guys.
What?
They're nervous.
Right, Roy got a hockey jersey with Bellamy on the back, a Panthers jersey. I don't believe you. You an even lie. That's what you are.
What? Yeah. An even lie? Wow, man.
I want to go back to what Stugatz said. When you're overconfident, you're nervous?
Yeah, it's true.
Yes, yeah. You're selling your overconfidence, but you're really nervous deep down inside.
False bravado.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sports car.
Yeah.
Clearly, you have a small penis.
Yeah.
I said I was even. Exactly. I'm not overconfident. I'm even.
Well, he's saying you're overconfident. He's describing
well,
you
this
as overconfident.
Well, this is overconfident.
I'm being even.
Roy,
I think what everybody's worried about is... I think Florida's more talented. We don't have to get into the weeds on that, but here's what a great equalizer is. A hot goalie in the playoffs.
Yep.
You can get goalied. And right now, everyone's kind of worried about that. And watching that game back, Florida didn't have great opportunities. I thought what Boston was exceptional at was their defense was just all over the front of the net. There was nothing clean getting to Swayman. And you had to be perfect with your shots. We miss some open nets. Chucky wishes that he had that one back. But here's what can make me nervous tonight, because even if they lose 2-0, but we see some improvements, because Paul Maurice got way too cute with the lines, I thought. There were defensive breakdowns from your forwards that you do not see. Barkov is a Selke finalist for a reason. And him and Tkachuk, even though you'd love to see them play on the same line together, there's a reason why you don't see it. Defensively, out of sorts.
Especially if Bennett ends up playing today. Kachuk's probably going to be back on the second line and get back with him.
I think what they have to do before this Swayman thing becomes a thing, because Swayman's never played this much, is the Florida Panthers are really excellent at making lives miserable for opposing goalies. You got to throw bodies in front of him. You got to throw him off his game. You got to have Nick Cousins doing Nick Cousins things. You have to do what Kachuk did last year to this very same Boston Bruins team. Get under their skin, get in front of that net, and play Panther hockey. That was totally absent in game one. Defensively, a mess. They were careless with the puck. Bob was careless, and he put Ekblad in a bad position. Then Ekblad had his worst game as a pro. Gustav Forsling, I don't think I've ever seen him play that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've caught up. You got smacked in the face. You realize after that week off, we got healthy, and we were waiting for this moment where you needed Sam Bennett. It changes everything for the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, in game one, they were incredibly sloppy. A lot of turnovers. Just too many turnovers, so they got to be better careful with the puck there.
Which do they have to be, better or careful?
Both.
Better and careful, because they were bad and not careful.
Better careful is what I have to be when I'm betting Mexican Puebla baseball.
Hmm.
Stugatz, the Marlins of Billy Gill have been quite the disaster so far
this
season.
It's early.
And they have traded away Luis Arraez, their most consistent player, a two-time batting champion. And I want to go back for a second, Billy, because over the course of covering this franchise, Marlins fans have at various points been very mad at me for being overly negative about what this franchise has done to its most loyal customers. And those loyal customers get mad at me when I talk about some of these playoff appearances being not sustainable or mirages, or they find me overly pessimistic on Marlins-related things. But the business of baseball in South Florida has betrayed and people who are deep sports fans who cared about baseball, has killed their love of baseball. And we did an interview on ESPN with the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. I believe it's the most disastrous interview publicly that a commissioner has ever done. Let's play a clip of that, please, for the audience here as we go through some of what it is that is happening with the Marlins now.
Rob, were you aware of Jeter's plan to trade players and slash payroll?
You know, it's interesting.
Yes or no,
we
please?
Don't.
Yes or no, please?
You know, I'm happy to do yes or no's.
You can add, you can elaborate afterward. I just want to know if you were aware of that plan. Like, you did you approve a plan that had slash payroll again for South Florida?
We do not approve operating decisions by any ownership, new owners,
Rob,
current owners or not.
Rob.
And as a result, the answer to that question is no. I'm not going to be deposed like this is some adversary thing.
The three other dismantlings you can make an argument for, the very rational baseball argument that you're making, but we were told when Miguel Cabrera was traded that when they got a new taxpayer stadium, it wouldn't happen anymore. You understand that, though, right?
Look, I think that is a broader statement of the commitment that was made in the stadium process. I don't think anybody ever committed that a particular player wasn't going to be traded in an effort to be competitive over the long haul.
Going to bring in David Sampson here, former Marlins team president, the host of Nothing Personal on the Le Batard and Friends Network.
A little game of yes or no with the commish.
Dude, that yes or no, please.
Oh, it was so good.
Awkward,
man.
I don't know.
That was a moment.
That's like Kathy thundering away at Kendrick in Few Good Men. Oh my God.
That was the beginning of the end.
A Few Good Men. I don't think it's just Few Good Men.
Whatever.
Do you think that was the beginning of the end, or just like we were already at the beginning of the end, and that was like, hey, then some real conversation started happening. Like, these guys are not worth the headache. We don't know anything about podcasts.
I think the beginning of the end was just Skipper leaving.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely gave that off.
Yeah, I felt it.
As it broke it, I was
think
like,
it started before that.
Well, but
started in 04.
Baseball calling ESPN executives.
Started when the ink dried.
Oh my gosh. Folks,
Gather around. Everyone, gather around. Listen to these words. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And if you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers, listen to me. You bet just $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code Dan. That's code Dan for new customers, and you get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's insane. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Dan Le Batard.
Go pee-pee.
Stugatz.
Go pee-pee.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
All right, moving on. David, do you have a different take on what just happened with Arise? Because is this the business as usual for the Marlins, or is it something else? Is there a way to defend this?
It's hard to imagine I'm going to defend the Marlins, but I really am here. Explain to me who amongst you believes the Marlins had a chance this year, even though it was just May 3rd. The thought was the team got lucky last year in one-run games. It all came together to make the playoffs. If they started off well, they would have hung on to see if they can have magic in a bottle twice. But when they started off the way they did, it really opened the door for them to make moves earlier. I just couldn't believe they didn't save the payroll. But that said, starting to move pieces makes a lot of sense.
You do understand, though, why it is the fan base would again feel hurt by the idea of I occasionally get attached to these guys and they're always leaving.
I understand that, but I also would say that there's a lot of turnover on a lot of different teams. I think the bigger complaint is that the winning windows have not been as long as other low revenue teams, where you can maybe have a 2 to 4 year winning window, notwithstanding Tampa, whose window is like a decade long, but most it's a 2 to 4 year winning window. And it seems that the Marlins are not able to do that. Though I would argue last year was not a winning window. It just became a winning year. And the rebuild that Jeter was supposed to do, now Peter Bendix is going to do. And I think you're at the start of a new section of rebuild. The problem is you've got some pitchers who are inexpensive now and really good and hurt. And then they're going to start getting more expensive and you're not going to be in your window. And that means you've screwed up the timing.
I think the skeptical fan would look at it and argue, well, I don't think anyone expected them before last season to make the playoffs, right? They overachieved. They got lucky in certain instances, and they made the playoffs. However, with the exception of Sandy, you still had a lot of that core there, and then you had the opportunity. You went into the season knowing you're not going to have Sandy when spring training started, right? Then you had injuries, and you lost more players. But prior to spring training, nothing was added. So you see this all kind of fell apart. You see that the pitching staff all got injured. They were decimated, and their solution was, let's bring in the closer and have him become a starter. That was a disaster. But at the time, fans are saying, why didn't you add on to this core and try to make a run for it? And now the cynical skeptic would say, because this was the plan. Like, you set this up so if they fell apart early, you could have a fire sale that would be justified. And the fan base would say, look, they're not that good. They're going to lose 100 games. Who cares if they sell it off? And in reality, had you added in the offseason, you could have avoided it being this disastrous this early and being able to pull the plug so quickly.
I really hate to give Bruce Sherman any sort of runway here, but their expectation for revenue just has not happened in terms of gate revenue and in terms of broadcast revenue. Don't forget that that TV deal, however bad it was that Jeter signed, it was a guaranteed stream of revenue over a course of years, and it just isn't going to materialize because of the bankruptcy of their network. And the second thing you have to realize is that there's a $10 million player coming that's being signed in 2026. You have a 3-year, $30 million deal with Giancarlo Stanton. And that money counts as payroll. So when you're looking at bringing in a long-term free agent, you have to think about where your payroll is going to be in 26 because it comes quickly.
The chairman of Bally's did a podcast and he talked about the A's relocation. What's important there?
That the chairman, don't invest a dollar of your money in Bally's. The chairman of Bally's did this podcast and he was trying. That's the number one takeaway.
I'm laughing because Jeremy just physically hid under the desk because he's doing a bunch of work for Bally's.
Where his paychecks come from?
I don't think he's in today.
What was it about sports that Bally's thought, like, I know we've been terrible at everything over the course of our lives here at Bally's HQ. But I really think regional sports over-the-top cable television is where we can turn this thing around. How is Bally's still around? They fail at gyms. They fail at hotels. They fail at TV.
Where's Jeremy?
How is this a thing?
Let's ask somebody who collects WFH, their cash.
Yeah, he's not here today.
It's like having Pan Am just operate your regional sports. How did we let this? Who could have seen this coming? Who?
I lost some college tuition when Eastern Airlines tried to make a comeback in Miami many years ago. And I thought, what a great idea. Eastern, they're going to make it back.
You fell for that?
I did.
It's Firefest. It's like, oh, hey, you guys want to do Firefest too? You guys seem to love the first one. Yeah, we'll get you out of jail. Throw another Firefest. Bally's is just moving from, it doesn't even matter what industry it is. They don't know what they are.
Let me just tell you.
Like, what are we doing? How is this allowed?
Here's why the interview is bad, Dan, to answer your question, is he was doing this podcast as the chairman. And he, first of all, it came out and he let it slip that John Fisher, in his mind, was already doing Vegas when he still claimed he had not decided or did not have permission to be in Vegas. Notwithstanding that, which is likely true, still doesn't mean the team's going to Vegas. What he was claiming is that Bally's and the land they have in Vegas, it is going to be an outstanding investment for Bally's because they've got 9 acres for a baseball stadium out of 36, and there's going to be millions of people and tourists, and it's going to be a huge boon to the rest of our development, which, by the way, we're not able to finance now because we're doing projects in Chicago, et cetera. And by the way, we're not sure where the stadium's going to go on those 36 acres. But by the way, baseball's played in the summer when there aren't a lot of other things going on. It's the downtime in Vegas, according to him. Clearly, he's never been to Vegas. There is no downtime if you've ever been to the pool parties or everything else going on in Vegas. So he just came off as misinformed. And when you're looking to invest in a company or decide where sort of a company should be in the pantheon of buy, sell, or hold, he just did not exude the sort of confidence that I would have liked. And that's the point of earnings calls, as an example, which is what Disney had yesterday and what companies do quarterly. It's what Bally's was doing by doing this podcast, just sort of giving an indication of where they are. It's you're talking about your company, your vision, and you're trying to get people to buy into your vision. And boy, I was not buying in after that podcast.
Is there any world where the Vegas thing falls apart or the A's are just stuck in Sacramento for an extended period of time?
Yeah, Billy, there is. Yeah, you know why? Because a huge part of the land is owned by Bally's. Because this is the only profit they see. Is we're just going to have this empty lot gain value. How do we keep giving Bally's more things? It's like having the Arena Football League do your taxes. It makes no sense. How are they still around? Show me where they've worked.
All right, Mike, settle down. It's not like having the Arena Football League do your taxes.
It is absolutely that.
Too far.
It is. It is. It's like having the Rock take out my appendix. It is.
Or run a football league.
Yeah, it's like the Rock running a football league. That's exactly what it is. Or it's like the Rock being president.
Way to go, Billy.
More like that.
We were rolling, Billy.
I've got a way to get Jeremy.
Dandy Bear. Now supermarkets.
I've got a way to get Jeremy to stop hiding under the desk. Did I hear that on Nothing Personal, you have said that Jimmy Butler will not play another game for the Miami Heat?
I did. That is an official wait to see from Nothing Personal. I watched the Pat Riley press conference at the end of the season. A, he reminded me of a grumpy old man, and it made me sad. But B, the things that he said about Jimmy It's, you know, when you get older and you just say things that it's supposed to be your inside voice, but all of a sudden becomes your outside voice, and your family tries to excuse you. And then it's sort of cute the way it is when a 2-year-old says something, but not a 15-year-old. Pat Riley talking about Jimmy Butler the way he did, telling him basically to shut up and try to dribble and play. I don't believe that Jimmy's going to take that well. And I believe that this was a public viewing of what's going on inside the Heat organization, where Jimmy's been a problem, Jeremy. And I don't know if you're willing to acknowledge this, but not knowing, is he going to play? Is he going to practice? You're going to say that that doesn't exist. There he goes. Boy, that's journalism for you, Dan.
That was a no.
No, he's hiding. He's hiding from me because he doesn't understand why he's catching your shrapnel here.
What do you think happens? What do you think happens with these regional sports networks? Do you think Bally's is like, well, let's just sell it to Sears?
Well, no, they're actually trying to sell it to Amazon.
Birdine's?
Their plan, not Birdine's.
They do already have deals in place with Amazon. The timetable on that is TBD, but in terms of when it'll roll out.
You know what kills deals? Time. And Bally's does not know how to operate a timetable. Do not trust them. If anyone can screw up.
The timeline is actually, you guys are wrong. The timeline is set by the bankruptcy court, and there's a hearing in June in order to approve a deal.
Bankruptcy court? Do they have a corner office in bankruptcy court?
Put it on the poll.
Is it Bally's bankruptcy court?
Does Bally's have a corner
Naming
office?
Rights?
Does Bally's have a corner office in bankruptcy court? Jeremy, do you have any rebuttal for David Sampson? Is the first
on what?
He's the first on record Bally's. I've heard anywhere saying that Butler will not play another game as a member of the Heat.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is public negotiating on both sides, right? Jimmy's agent afterward came out and spoke specifically about the Heat need to make improvements. He talked about the numbers when Jimmy's on the court versus when he's off. But then he also said they're cut from the same cloth. All we want is for Jimmy to be paid what he's worth. And I think on the Heat side of it, the posturing that they're doing is, hey, look, man, you're setting the tone. Right. If you're going to take nights off, if you're going to sort of load manage, if you're not going to play through every bump and bruise as Pat Riley expected from players in the past, then some of the other players on the team are going to take the same note. And the Heat dealt with more starting lineups this year than anybody in the NBA that had a winning record. It's the most starting lineups they've ever had. And so it's not just Jimmy missing games. It's several guys missing games. But he's looking at the guy who he called the biggest needle mover on the team, not his captain, Bam Adebayo, but Jimmy Butler, the needle mover, and saying, hey, set the tone in this way. It's public posturing between both sides. I still think, ultimately, he's here playing basketball in Miami next year. But I think they'll consider anything. He did flatly say, no, we won't be trading Jimmy.
In fairness, he
could still, what you say.
Yeah, he also may not trade Jimmy, and Jimmy still may never play another game for the Heat.
I also like
or a handful.
It's like Circuit City having the rights to the Academy Awards. It never made sense.
It's just a name.
Quite the Freudian slip there when you said missing games and made it missing James, because what they do miss is LeBron James.
Is
it was a lot easier back then. What do you make, David, of the WNBA not only getting Disney Plus certified and having a deal here where you're going to get some support from one of the major money players, but also the team's flying now in a way that's vastly more professional because they're going to have chartered planes?
When I was back in my day, I was able to get on commercial planes and have NBA teams with me. The first time I ever visited a Major League Baseball player, they were sharing a room with another Major League Baseball player. And this was not that long ago. The NBA players were flying commercially through the 80s. 1987, I think, was the first time an NBA team flew charter. And that may have been the Pistons. So it's funny that this is what the players want. I understand they're saying security and they're saying comfort and convenience. I get it. It's $25 million they're going to spend before they get a sponsor, except I've done these sponsorship deals. You pay more to fly privately than the amount of the sponsor deal. It's a big expense. And at the end of the day, it's going to shorten the amount of time that players will have to make more money, meaning lengthen When you're negotiating a collective bargaining agreement, you want money for your players. Well, the WNBA is going to say, we spent more money on your creature comforts. Now we can't increase the minimum salary, or we can't increase the maximum salary. So I think it's a mistake for the players to have wanted this so badly, because at the end of the day, it'll just come out of their pocket.
But why would it be a mistake? They need to fly better and take care of their bodies and have comforts and then negotiate something when the time comes to negotiate. But right now, they're getting something, and they're getting it without having yet negotiated it.
Oh, but that's, you were right up until the end. So the fact that the WNBA is agreeing to do charter flights for the players, that is a part of a negotiation when it comes to CBAs. The fact that they did that, and there will be a dollar amount associated with it. And I love it when players want creature stuff. Baseball players fought for a chef in the clubhouse. Like, we give a crap.
I know
you, a chef
you've,
in the
you've
clubhouse.
Told me that, but that's so we're not collectively bargaining everything right now. This
you
is
are
a,
though.
This is a victory. This is a victory. You're saying
right,
it's not
an
a victory?
Victory? Because, brother, you know how many hatred emails, tweets that go out to Brittany Griner? Yeah. You know what they deal with going through these airports? These ladies are vilified. They all the time they're come at. They also attack. Brother, like, this is a big win for the WNBA no matter who you are. I don't give a damn if it costs $10 billion. Let's keep these ladies safe, because what they have to endure is already more than terrible.
What he's saying, though, I think, is that in the future collective bargaining, this may be you winning a battle, but you're losing the war, because later on they use this against you and say, well, we can't raise your salary that you want because that money's gone towards this instead.
That's the reality of bargaining. And Juju, of course, safety is what matters. And obviously you do not deserve any sort of bad treatment, no matter where you are. But flying privately does not all of a sudden take away the opportunity for people to treat people badly. You can find them in the hotels. You can find them as you're getting into the hotel or as you're getting into the stadium or during the games. There are ways, as you know, big league players get impacted all the time by racism and hatred. It doesn't end because you fly private.
But David, what's going to happen here is they are cashing a lottery ticket early. These TV rights are coming, and so they get to mortgage some of that now, because they get to live a better life now than the one they've lived, because the TV money is about to pay for all of this. They're just.
Are you sure?
I mean,
where are you getting that from?
What do you think, David?
No, that's
look,
a fair
look,
question,
no,
though. Are you sure?
Look at the ratings numbers.
But
look
spending at, it before you have it is a dangerous game.
No, not if you know you're going to get an amount of money that dwarfs the amount of money you have ever had in this realm, because they're about to cash in. You can't tell me they're not about to cash in, because the numbers that they're doing are crazy, and the streaming services are going to fight for those numbers.
But David thought the Marlins were going to cash in on a TV deal, and then even the deal that they signed, now the company's gone bankrupt.
So Dan,
which company? Which company would that be?
Circuit
the one
City.
That's always going bankrupt. How are they winning bids? How do they have money? What is this business plan?
It just hijacks the whole segment.
Yeah.
I don't even know where we were.
David, the Knicks.
Yes, sir.
The Knicks.
The Bockers,
the Mecca, Brunson, your thoughts?
If you think the Knicks aren't winning the series, you're not paying attention. Of course they're going to beat the Pacers. Then the NBA doesn't care if they beat the Celtics, because one of them ends up in the finals, and that's just fine.
What's the movie you're right. reviewing, David?
Can we review, has anyone in the room seen Unfrosted?
No, that's no. That's a Jerry Seinfeld thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to carry the water on this. I love Jerry Seinfeld. The fact that he was directing a movie and it was going to be about the start of Pop-Tarts, and I love the frosted cinnamon, the brown sugar Pop-Tarts. I love the strawberry Pop-Tarts. I love the low-fat Pop-Tarts. Mm. I don't toast them. I eat them raw, put them on top of dry cereal
what?
With peanuts and wasabi peas and
what?
Some sort
wasabi
of spicy
peas?
Mix.
Wait a minute. What?
You're ruining Pop-Tarts.
What is that?
That
Wait,
is
what?
That is a very common meal for me.
What? You can't even taste things. Why are you adding those things together? COVID took your taste. Like, what are you doing?
Nutrition.
Think about the crunch and the texture of the combination of wasabi
that
peas.
That is the meal
I'd
of a
rather not.
Serial killer.
Did you do this when you could taste, or is this like a new thing?
No, this is an old thing. Okay. And so I still do it because it reminds me of days gone by.
Wasabi peas with Pop-Tarts. What kind of breakfast is that?
And dry cereal. Weird. And peanuts and a other special kind of mix that you buy that has some spicy, those spicy little orange things. I can't remember what it's called. I think they call it, or it's that. But no, then there's another one.
I know what the wasabi peas are. That's what? You're crazy. A maniac.
That's
a
like
lunatic.
Having a hotel chain become a lifestyle gym chain, becoming a regional sports chain.
Not going to let that go. Huh?
What is Unfrosted? How'd you feel about it? It was doo-doo?
It's a movie that Jerry Seinfeld directed, and it's terrible. And you would have expected some sort of humor that would have made me smile. You would have expected him to be good or the movie to be interesting because the story of the Pop-Tart could have been cool. Except I laughed out loud a total. If your over-under was 0.5, take the under. There wasn't even a guffaw. I managed to smile, and it's only because there was a moment during the movie that I saw how much was left, and I had passed the halfway point, so I knew that I was close to the end. That was my only smile. It's a disappointing debut for Jerry. Skip it and just eat the Pop-Tart.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. If you've gone halfway through a movie, do you feel like you have to finish it? At Lebatard Show. Nothing Personal is the name of the podcast. Thank you, David. Good talking to you.